Morning. Today's daf in Erev and Sadi. Hey, we are on the final daf of the ninth parak of our Masechta. We're going to be starting in Mitzvah Hashem this morning, the tenth parak. Let us begin. Yesterday we came off of a Mishnah on Sadi Dal Amud Aleph that spoke about walls coming down on Shabbos. Actually, a couple of Mishnayos. Second Mishnah on Sadi Dal Amud Aleph also discussed a wall that comes down on Shabbos, in which the chatzer is nifritz al rishus rabim, the courtyard opens up into rishus rabim, and the Mishnah says mishtei rucho seha, coming down on two walls. And so the Gemara's question, a really simple question, and that is two walls. Why two walls? What kind of breach are we talking about? Are we talking about a breach of tanamas? Are we talking about a breach that's greater than tanamas? And the Gemara struggled. The Gemara says, I don't understand. If we're talking about a breach of up to tanamas, so that's the Pesach. You can have a Pesach on one side, you can have a Pesach on two sides. There's no limitation. If we're talking about a breach that's greater than Tanamos, so that's a Pirza. And that would disqualify the Rishus Yachid even on one side. So obviously, a struggle to understand the Mishnah. So yesterday, we went through two Shitas amongst the Amoraim, Rav and Shmuel, in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. Sadi Dal Amud Beis, top of the Amud. I'm sorry, and just one other piece of information. Not only is the Mishnah discussed it regarding a chatzer, the Mishnah also discusses it regarding a bais as well. When it comes to a house, we learned the same halach in the Mishnah, that if two of the walls comes down, the house has lost its integrity of being a rishus yachid. But if only one wall comes down, so then the house maintains its integrity of being a rishus yachid, and we're just going to simply go and ask the same question. I don't understand. If we're talking about a breach of ten amos, that's a Pesach. Anything greater than ten amos, it's a pirza. And also, on top of that, the house presents an additional complication. Or not complication, but just simply an additional feature. And that is that your house has a roof to it. And if assuming that it's a flat roof, so then we have the principle, p'tikra yod v'sosein, that the edge of the roof comes down. And the edge of the roof is going to produce a wall. So even if I had two of the house walls that are knocked out, and even if it's greater than 10 amos, we have p'tikra yod v'sosin, which is going to be able to complete the house. So these are the struggles that the Gemara had in terms of understanding the Mishnah. With these struggles in mind, so we went over yesterday two shitas, that of Rav and that of Shmuel. Shita of Rav is that we're talking about where the pirza occurs, the Bekeren's office, and the corner of the houses where the walls have come down. And why don't we call it a Pesach? Meaning, Rav's of the opinion, sorry, I missed out an important point, and that is that Rav's of the position that it was less than 10 amos, but occurs in the corner, and the people don't make a Pesach in the corner. That is, and as far as Pitikar Yor V'Sosim, so the roof is slanted. So that was Shitas Rav. So, good. So that's one way to explain the Mishnah. Shmuel gives another way to explain the Mishnah, and that it's Yoster Me'eser, the breach is greater than 10 amos. So the Gemara says the breach is greater than 10 amos, so then that should be true even at Rebirach Achas. Even if it's one wall. So Shmuel's position is that he was explaining not the case of the chatzah, but rather the case of the house. The Gemara says, well, if it's one wall, so you have P'tikra Yod V'Sosim, but if you have two walls, we don't say P'tikra Yod V'Sosim. The Gemara says, I don't understand. We're back to square one. If we're talking about a house and it has a roof, so don't we have the principle of p'tikra yod v'sosim? And so the Gemara says like this. First of all, let's establish that according to Shmuel, he is going to say p'tikra yod v'sosim, but a modified version of p'tikra yod v'sosim. The Gemara is understood by Rashi, and we went through this at the end of yesterday's daf, is that according to Shmuel, p'tikra yod v'sosim works on three walls, but not on four walls. Meaning, if I have a perfect echsadra, and again, I'm going to explain it like Rashi. If I have a perfect echsadra, which is, I just have four poles, and I have a roof over the top of it, a flat roof over the top of it, so Rav is of the position that what we have over here is an enclosed area. P, Tikra, Yod, Vesosim, the edge of the roofs come down on all four sides, that Shita's Rav. Shmuel says, no, we're not going to go that far. If there's already one wall to the echsadra, so then we're going to say P, Tikra, Yod, Vesosim on three of the sides. But if I have no walls whatsoever, we're not going to say p'tikra yod v'sosim. That is the shita of Shmuel. Good. So the Shmuel's understanding p'tikra yod v'sosim, again, as understood by Rashi. By the way, I said that a couple times. because it happens to be that Tosfos has an entirely different read of our Gemara, the case of the Echsadra, the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So, but for our purposes this morning, I'm going to present the Gemara just like Rashi. So, according to Shmuel, a limited version of Pitikur Yoav Vesosim, only three walls, not four walls. Now, if that's true, we're going to go back to our case of the Mishnah, and how do we understand the case of the house? So this is where we ended yesterday. So according to Shmuel, we're talking about where it's a flat roof. It's not a tilted roof. But the reason and two walls were knocked down the house, and the reason why the house is no good, and the reason why we're not going to say particularly over so same, is because the kind of break it was in the corner was a very specific break. Now, if you have a standard Gemara, you can look at the Rashi, and you're going to see a picture of the break. The Rashi over here is not drawn to scale, right? It goes jagged in the corner, right? I'm looking at a standard Gemara at the picture of the Rashi. I'm sure in the art scroll it's got a better picture, but the you look in and it cuts in. And then basically you are looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're looking at five right angles as it cuts into the side. Okay, it's so helpful if you're looking at a picture so that you and I are looking now at the same thing. Anyway, Rashi describes over here where it cuts in four tefachim. That's why the picture over here is not drawn to scale. It cuts in four tefachim, and then it comes back out five amos, comes in five amos, and it cuts back out four tefachim. Okay, and why four tefachim? Just simply because it has to be a significant area. Now, in doing so, in this break in the corner, so basically how many walls have to drop down? So if you're counting the number of walls that have to drop down, so it's going to be four walls, in addition to the rest of the house. But it's going to be four walls. So this is Shmuel Lishita. So this is the part where we ended yesterday, but now we're picking up today and getting good pshat in the Gemara. This is Shmuel Lishita, so meaning Shmuel's not ready to say Pitikur Yod Vesosim when you need four walls to drop down. So the Gemara says that according to Shmuel, the roof is a flat roof, and yes, Shmuel does have a modified version of Pitikur Yod Vesosim, but not this case over here, because in order to say Pitikur Yod Vesosim over here, so I need four of the walls to come down. Good. So that is according to the Shita of Shmuel. Good. With that stated, the Gemara says, we're going to pick it up now where we left off in the Gemara. So Shmuel has a pshat in the Mishnah, and Rav has a pshat in the Mishnah. And why necessarily does Shmuel not like Rav's pshat, and vice versa? So Shmuel amar karav, alachson lo ketani. So the Gemara says, look, as far as Shmuel's concerned, so he does not appreciate Rav's pshat, because in order for Rav to say a pshat in the Mishnah, so the roof has to be a slanted roof. Now it's our roofs and our modern houses. So most of them are slanted. But back in the day, so Bizmana Gemara, so most of the roofs were flat roofs. So to say a pshat in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about a slanted roof, and that's why we don't say Pitikur Yoav Vesosim, so that was, at the time, unconventional. And so as far as Shmuel is concerned, why would I want to give an unconventional pshat in the Mishnah? Even though, by the way, I'll just say under my breath, according to Shmuel, the break in the corner has to be so specific. And it's not like that's so conventional, but still, according to Shmuel, to talk about a roof that's slanted was just at the time so unusual. Shmuel amar karab alachson lo ketani. Sorry, just reread that line. Rav lo amar kishmuel. Now Rav doesn't hold like Shmuel because imkein habile achsadra. As far as Rav not agreeing to Shmuel, so the Gemara says, and we kind of knew this already, but the reason why Rav doesn't say the pshat like Shmuel is because Rav simply doesn't agree with Shmuel. Because Rav Latame, Rav is consistent with what he says to Amar, Achsadra Moto Latalta Bekulo. That when it comes to the Achsadra, you can carry within the entire Achsadra. Deitmar Achsadra Bebeker, Rav Amar Moto Latalta Bekulo, Shmuel Amar, Eim Atalta Mbo Alabar Ma'amas. So we're back to going over the case of the Achsadra. So you have four poles, a flat roof over the top, and Rav says, good, it's an enclosed area. Shmuel says, it's not an enclosed area. And the Gemara goes on, Rav Amar Moto Latalta Bekulo Amar in a particular Yor Vesosim, because again, Rav is perfectly comfortable with the idea that every edge of the roof is going to come down, flush down, and create walls on all four sides. And so therefore, in Shmuel's scenario that he gave over here, where we're talking about a break in the corner with the jagged edges and five right angles, so as far as Rav is concerned, perfect. So every one of those walls are going to come down, just like in the case of the Achsadra. Ushmul Amari Metaltan Bala Barba Amos Lo Amin Pitikar Yod Visosim. So the and as far as Shmuel's concerned, so he simply does not agree that Pitikar Yod Visosim can work on four walls. According to the Gemara we saw earlier, three walls will say, but not four walls. Adkan. Okay, so basically we have now taken us through the conclusion of yesterday's daf, the Mishnah that talks about a breach in the chatzar, a breach in the house. The Mishnah is saying two of the walls breach, it's no good. And a discussion to be had between Rav and Shmuel, exactly what is the case of the Mishnah, why two walls? Why not one wall? Is the breach greater than 10 amos, less than 10 amos? How exactly does the breach look? Good. So we just went through two pshatim in our Mishnah, both that of Rav and Shmuel. We're continuing in the Gemara. We're inside of Dalam and Beis, and we are four lines from the bottom. So the Gemara now starts and shapes and modifies the machlokas that we have seen up until now. If we're talking about where the breach is up to 10 amos, there's no debate. Keep pligi b'yasser m'yasser. The only debate that's going to be is when it is greater than 10 amos. So, over here, we are, sorry, not debating our Mishnah, but debating the parameters of Pitikur Yorid Bisosim. This idea that the roof is going to come down. So, if it is 10 amos up to 10 amos, so according to the first version of the Gemara, so there's no debate between Rav and Shmuel, meaning up to 10 amos, so even Shmuel is going to be of the opinion that Pitikur Yorid Bisosim. And presumably, that would be even on all four sides. If it's greater than 10 amos, so now we have a machloks between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, Pitikur Yod V'Sosim, and he'll say it on all four sides. And Shmuel said, no, modified version, Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. Now, Ge'ika D'Armi, now in the second version, B'Yesser Kuli Amalo Pligi, so if it's greater than 10 amos, then there's no debate between Rav and Shmuel. And in the second version now, we're going to go L'Chumra, meaning that when it's greater than 10 amos, even Rav is going to have a modified version of Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. Ki pligi b'yasser. So the machlokus between them is going to be when it's 10 amos. V'had amr of Yehuda. Now, the Gemara says, let's go back to a statement of Rav Yehuda. We saw this about a week and a half ago in the Daf. That is, Kora Dalid Matir B'Churva. That if I have a beam that's 4 amos wide, so it's Matir B'Churva, so below the area of the beam, so now you can carry in that area. And Rav Nachman Amar Rava Baravua Koradal Matir B'Mayim. So and Rava Baravua, Rav Nachman quotes in the name of Rava Baravua that this 4 amah beam is going to work over water. Either way, whether it works over a churva or works over water. So basically, what we're looking at over here is a beam. The beam is laid down on its flat side. It's a really wide beam, and presumably the issue over here is you have Pitik or Yod V'Sosing, and so that means that according to Rav Yehuda over here. It's also Rav Nachman as well, but we're going to be focusing on Rav Yehuda. So we will say Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. And the Gemara wants to know money. So who is Rav Yehuda subscribing like? Again, information that we seem to be going over time and again, and that is that Rav Yehuda was a Talmud both of Rav and of Shmuel. So over here, was he going like the Shita of Rav? Was he going like the Shita of Shmuel? This beam that was 4 amos wide. So, and we are going to say Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. So, is he subscribing to the Shita of Rav, or is he subscribing to the Shita of Shmuel? So, l'hachlish and damad b'asalo pligi. So, the Gemara says, now, if we're going to say that when Pitikur Yod V'Sosim works for an area of less than 10 amos, and we said in the first version, kuli amo, everyone would agree that we do say Pitikur Yod V'Sosim, if the total length is under 10 amos, so then fine. So, b'asav v'divra akol. So then this statement of Rav Yehuda becomes a non-controversial statement, because the beam we could say is under 10 amos. We know it's 4 amos wide. And so we could say that the whole beam on all four sides is under 10 amos. And that's great. And that would mean now that this statement of Rav Yehuda would be going both Aliba de Rav and Aliba de Shmuel, because within 10 amos, everyone agrees Pitikur Yod V'Sosim on all four sides. L'hachlish on Amar Baser Pligi. Now, according to the second version where they're debating even 10 amos, so Kirav lame sorry, the Amar Baser Pligi, Kirav. So that means to say that Rav Yehuda can only be working within the Shita of Rav and not within the Shita of Shmuel. Because in the second version, even when the side is 10 amos or less than 10 amos, still Shmuel is not going to say Pitikur Yod V'Sosim on all four sides. He will say it on three sides, but not on all four sides. So then this psak of Rav Yehuda would only work within the sheet of Rav and not work within the sheet of Shmuel. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Lema Abai v'Rava b'Pukta d'Rav v'Shmuel k'Mifligi. So the Gemara says, let's try alignment. And that is that we know there's a machlokus between Abai and Rava. We're going to introduce ourselves to it in a moment. And presumably the machlokus between Abai and Rava are going to coordinate with the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Ditmar, the Gemara goes over the following case. And then Sichecha Gabe Achsadra, Sheesh La Pitsimim. So let's say I have a sukkah, but the walls of the sukkah are not solid walls. But rather, they are Pitsimim. Exactly what that is, Rashi describes. Amudim Kvum, Rashi, top Rashi. Amudim Kvum, Bemechitza Sapachos Megimel. Okay, so basically what I have are poles within proximity, one to the other, of less than 3 Tvachim. Love it now, put them together. Okay, but as we have already discussed numerous times, even though we have the principle of love, but nevertheless, those are inferior walls. Those are not 100% walls. In other areas of halacha, we're going to be mekel. We just discussed the other day the case of the shayara. We're over there. We're going to be mekel. But generally speaking, it is not elechatzchila to make walls with just the vertical poles. And using the principle of love. Anyway, so kishera. So under those circumstances, so the sukkah would be a kasher sukkah. Ein la psimim. Now let's say it doesn't have it. So Abai amar kishera, Rava amar psula. So we are going to have a machlok between Abai and Rava. Abai says it's good. Rava says it's no good. Abai amar kishera, amar pitikar yod visosim. So Abai says, look, we don't have the poles anymore, but we do have the principle p'tikur yod v'sosim. So there must be some sort of frame on the top of the sukkah. Otherwise, where are you going to put the schach on top of it? So the frame on the top of the sukkah, so that's going to drop down. And we're going to use the principle of p'tikur yod v'sosim. That is shitas Abai. Rav amar, psula lo amar p'tikur yod v'sosim. And what Rava says is no, that we're not going to say p'tikur yod v'sosim. And so what do we have over here? Lema Abai ka Rava, Rava kishmua. And so what we have over here seemingly is a parallel machlokus between Abai and Rava on Sukkah and Rav and Shmuel in the case of Achsadra on Shabbos. So, and how is it going to align? Slightly awkwardly, where Abai now is going to be in alignment like Rav, and Rav is going to go like Shmuel. Now I say it's a little bit awkward because generally speaking, halacha machlokus between Abai and Rava, the halacha falls like Rava. And when you have a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, when it comes to Isurim, so the halacha is going to fall like Rav. So, okay, so the alignment comes now a little bit off because we're going to have Rav going like Abaye. Rav, who we typically paskin, goes like Abaye, who we typically don't paskin like. Okay, fine. But putting the psak aside, in other words, in terms of the alignment, the shita seem to be in perfect agreement with one another, meaning that Rav does seem to be going like Abaye, and Shmuel seems to be going like Rava. Seems to be a good alignment. So the Gemara says, Aliba de Shmuel kolam lo pligi. So the Gemara says, look, within Shita Shmuel, so there's no way out of it. Meaning Shmuel does not say P'tikur Yod V'sosim on all four sides. Established. And to say that now, that Rav is going to be holding like Shmuel, so we can't do that. Meaning it's just simply, that Abaye is going to be going like Shmuel. So the Gemara says, there's no way to match the Shita of Abaye within the Shita of Shmuel. Gemara says, fine. So that part I'm going to give you. However, keep pliga liba de Rav, but within the sheet of Rav, not necessarily. Meaning, in the case of Shabbos and Achsadra, and Pitikar Yovisosim says that all four walls come down. That's true. But Abai Karav, so now certainly Abai is going to go like Rav, because Abai said by the sukkah, the frame of the sukkah is going to drop down on all four sides. Good. Abai certainly agrees with Rav. However, Rava, but maybe Rava doesn't necessarily disagree with Rav. How? How do we get there? Because Ad kan lo kamay Rav hasamela dahani mechitzas lachsadra avidi avahacha dahani mechitzas lav lasuka avidi lo. So here's the distinction we can make is that when it comes to the achsadra, the case of the achsadra, so the roof that's made over the top of the achsadra, that's li achsadra avidi. That's made for the purpose of the achsadra. And so therefore, in that case, Rav would say, p'tikur yod v'sosim, that the walls are going to come down on all four sides. However, in the case of sukkah, so interesting, the Gemara says, I'm going to reread it, hani mechitzas lav l'sukkah avidi. You see, these mechitzas are not made for the sukkah. Now, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is that, you know, when you make the walls of the sukkah, it has to be made l'shem sukkah. In other words, it sounds like the Gemara over here is referencing some sort of halacha of lishma. Now that's a little bit difficult in terms of the Gemara's differentiation between Shabbos and Sukkah, because we know when it comes to Sukkah, so when it comes to the mitzvah of making a Sukkah, there is a halach of Lishma. But not for the walls of the Sukkah, there's a halach of Lishma for the schach of the Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Tes, so it talks about how there has to be a Lishma requirement. Actually has a debate whether or not there's a Lishma requirement. But any discussion that concerns Lishma and the Sukkah is only legabi the schach, not regarding the walls of the schach. The walls of the schach just simply have to be there. But there is no Lishma requirement. There does not have to be any kind of intentionality when it comes to the walls of the Sukkah. So the Gemara over here says that, you see, the problem over here is that when I have the frame, I'm not going to say Pitikari or Vesosin because it didn't make it for the Sukkah. So Rashi over here writes, and maybe Rashi is addressing this, but Rashi's really terse, so it's kind of hard to read into it, but La Vesukkah L'Shem Sukkah. Afagav Delo Bay Mechitzos L'Shman. Yes, so Rashi really is bothered by it. Rashi says, you know, in general, by Sukkah, so the walls don't have to be L'Shman, but Kulei Hai Mia Lo Mekilinlan. So Rashi says, but this is being way too makel. Meaning what Rashi seems to say, and you know, you could certainly dispute my reading of Rashi, it's perfectly fine, but what Rashi seems to be saying is that generally there's no Lishma by the walls of the Sukkah, but there's some minimum threshold. And over here, to use the principle of Pitikar Yovis Sosem as the walls for the Sukkah, even though there really isn't a Lishma requirement, but there is some sort of minimum threshold. And to use Pitikar Yovis Sosem to make those walls, that far we won't go. Okay, that could be a simple reading of the Rashi. Anyway, so the Gemara says that, yes, it's true, we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and yes, it's true, we do have a machlokes between Abai and Rava by Sukkah, but Abai and Rava may not be having the same dispute as Rav and Shmuel. And the Gemara has just put in the shitas of Rava within the shita of Rav. It's possible. Okay, Reb Yossi. We are continuing the Gemara study, Amud Aleph, at the two dots, Reb Yossi Omer Imutarim. Now, what was the halacha back in the mission that we saw yesterday's daf? Tzadi, Dalet Amud Aleph, Bottom Mishnah. So when I have the Chaser Shenifritza, or I have the Bai Shenifritza, so the Machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says that, well, for this Shabbos we're good, meaning even after the walls come down, but for future Shabbos it's no good. And Rabbi Yossi says, what are you talking about? If it's good for this Shabbos, it's good for future Shabbos. If it's bad for future Shabbos, it's bad for this Shabbos. Now, yesterday, if I read the Mishnah, I said Pshat already in Rabbi Yossi. Good. And we're going to come back to that right now. The Gemara is, for a moment, going to entertain another pshat within Rav Yossi. Now, let's just see the Gemara inside. Ibai Lu. Rav Yossi, Leser Lahatir. Okay, so Rav Yossi, what was the statement? If it's good this Shabbos, it's good for all future Shabbos. And if it's bad next Shabbos, so it's bad this Shabbos. So which way was he going? Meaning, we understood his general point, and that is you need consistency. The question of the Gemara is very simple. Which direction is he going in terms of consistency? So Amar Rav Sheshes Lesser, V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan Lesser. So the Amoraim say that Rav Yossi over here is being Oser, meaning no good. It's just simply no good, meaning just like it's no good next Shabbos, so too it's no good this Shabbos. Right? The alternative way to read it would have been really difficult. Meaning, for a moment, the Gemara entertained that there's an alternative way to read it. That it could be that what Rav Yossi meant is, well, since it's good for this Shabbos, it's good for future Shabbos as well. That's a difficult read of Rav Yossi, and the Gemara immediately dismissed it, but for a moment the Gemara entertained it. Okay, worthwhile to investigate what that Havamina would be. But anyway, Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara has a brisa supporting this as well. Amar Rav Yossi, Kishem Sha'asurim La'asilava, Kachasurim La'asur Shabbos. Good, the brisa says it really clearly, that Rav Yossi over here is being a machmir, and that is, look, you know it's not going to be good in future Shabbos, then. It's not going to be good for the balance of this Shabbos as well. Itmar, so good. So now we have a very basic machlokas in our mission between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. The walls of the chatzar come down, the walls of the house come down. So is it good for the remainder of this Shabbos? Next Shabbos, everyone's in agreement, no good. Is it good for the remainder of this Shabbos? Rav Yehuda says yes. And Rav Yehuda seems to employ an idea of kevin de hutra hutra. All right, the Gemara discussed it just a couple days ago, of kevin de hutra hutra. Right, I already made note that the arguments of kevin de hutra hutra earlier may not coordinate with our Mishnah, right? Just to reiterate the point we made a couple days ago, the point of kevin de hutra hutra that we had a couple days ago, so that was a discussion of extra diurin, meaning the integrity of the structure is there. yes, it's true. The wall did come down, but the wall came down between Chatzeros. So you're still dealing with a Rishus HaYachid, right? A larger Rishus HaYachid. And over there, it's just that we were exposed to more residences because an interior wall came down. So over there, it's an Erevin issue. So by an Erevin issue, came into Hocho Hocho. But over here, we're talking about Mechitzos. We're talking about where the structure is coming down. The structure came down. So it may not be the same discussion. But be that as it may, we have a machlokas in our mission between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says that for the balance of the Shabbos, we're going to be good. It's still going to be considered a Rishus HaYachid. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, for the remainder of this Shabbos, it's not going to be good. Good. So now, with that stated, who's the halacha? If I like Itmar, Rav Chia bar Yosef Amar halachik Rabbi Yossi, Shmuel Amar halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so machlokas amarayim, who we follow like, whether we follow like Rabbi Yossi or whether we follow like Rabbi Yehuda. Umi amar Shmuel hachi now. Shmuel saying that the halacha follows like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what does that mean? It means that Shmuel is on this issue is a meiko. The Gemara is going to be bothered by that. Umi amar Shmuel hachi vehatanan. The Gemara says let's remind each other of a mission that we saw earlier in our Masechta. Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'med devar mamor b'iruv v'tchumim. Ava b'iruv v'chatzeres ma'arvin bein ladas bein shalom ladas lefish zach la'adam. So the Mishnah talking about making an Erev on behalf of others. So do you need their consent? So for Eruv Yitzchumim you do, for Eruv Chatzeros you don't. And as we already pointed out, the basic difference between the two is that by Eruv Tchum, it is a gain in one direction, but a loss in another direction. So it is a Zchus and it's a Chova. And Ein Chavon La'adam. You cannot create an obligation for another person unless you get their consent. However, when it comes to Eruv Chatzeros, it's only gain, no loss. Now with an Eruv Chatzeros, everybody can carry, and nobody has to lose anything in doing so. I'm going to sponsor the Eruv on behalf of everybody. So Zach Ladam, Shalom Befanav, that's good. So that works. That's the Mishnah. Ve'am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. And on top of that, Rabbi Yehuda quotes B'Shem Shmuel, the Halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda. And on top of that, the halacha in Erevin always falls like Rabbi Yehuda. This is now Rabbi Yehuda, the Amara, quoting B'Shem Shmuel, that the halacha in Erevin always falls like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Now, just one more point of the Gemara, and then we'll put everything together. V'amalei Rav Chana Bagdasa L'Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel Afilu B'Mavu Shenito Karaso L'Chayev. So he says, wait. The halacha always falls like Rabbi Yehuda? How about the case where we had a mavoi and the lechi comes down, or the korah comes down? Are you ready to pass like Rabbi Yehuda over there? And he says, no, we're not going that far. That's not an Erevin issue, that's a mechitza issue. And now, at this juncture of the Masechta, so we are schooled in the arts of Erevin, so we understand very well this distinction. Meaning, when we say, does the community have an Erev? So in the colloquial, what we're really describing is, I mean, yes, we're describing the box of matzos, but we're really describing the perimeter that's created around the community, otherwise known as the mechitzos. That's not really the Eruv, meaning the mechitzos is first and foremost creating the Rishos HaYachid, the necessary Rishos HaYachid, so that we could have so that we can actually make an Eruv, so that we can have the basket of bread, or in our cases, the box of matzos. But in other words, but there are two distinct areas of halacha. One is an area of halacha mechitzos, and the other is an area of halacha of Erevin. No, when we're going to be mekel like Rav Yehuda throughout Masechta Erevin, that's only on the Erevin issue. Residences, right? Unification, contribution to the Erev. In those areas, we're going to be mekel like Rav Yehuda. But when it comes to the actual mechitza itself, we're not going to be mekel like Rav Yehuda. So now with all that stated, now you understand this is now a question. Because over here, in our Mishnah, here in Erevin, and yesterday's daf, Sadi Dalet, machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, was that an Erevin discussion or was that a mechitza discussion? Clearly, it's a mechitza discussion. And over there, for Shmuel to say, oh, we're going to be mekel like Rav Yehuda, slow down. We're mekel like Rav Yehuda when it comes to Erevin issues. We're not mekel like Rav Yehuda when it comes to mechitza issues. So that's the Gemara's question. So I'm Rav Anan Lididim Efarsh Leminei Dishmol Kan Shenifritza LeKarmelis Kan Shenifritza LeRishos HaRabim. So over here, a major issue, which really, it's so funny, the Gemara only waited till the very end to clarify, and that is the Chatzar broke. And it broke into what? What was it contiguous next to that it opens up into? So now, finally, at the end of the entire sugya, so the Gemara now provides clarity. Clarity, really, to be miyashiv the stira between Shmuel, because Shmuel says that we're in our mission, we're going to be mekel like Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara says, I don't understand. What are you talking about? How could you be mekel like Rav Yehuda? Meanwhile, the halacha follows like Rav Yehuda only by Erevin issues. Our mission is not an Erevin issue. It's a mechitza issue. So now, in order to create yishuv within the sheet of Shmuel, so we're making now the following distinction. If the chatzar opens up into a karmelis, I'm going to say over the Gemara like Rashi. If the chatzar opens up into a karmelis, so now, at worst, what we're looking at is transferring something from a rishus yachid to a karmelis. Okay, so there we could be mekel, and we are going to be mekel. And so, meaning, when I say we, I mean Shmuel. Shmuel is going to be mekel. And so therefore, it would be okay to carry from the chatzar into a karmelis, because even at worst, it's an issur d'rabbanan. Again, for the balance of this Shabbos. Next Shabbos, you need to fix the chatzar. But meanwhile, if the chatzar were opening up into a rishus ha rabim, so now we're talking about violating an issur d'oraisa, going from the chatzar rishus yachid to the rishus rabim, which would be an issur d'oraisa. So under those circumstances, no, we're not going to be mekel. And Shmuel would not be mekel like Rebbe Yehuda, and you would not be able to carry from the for the balance of the Shabbos from the Chatzar into the Rishus HaRabim. Good. That's the way we said it. I said it over like Rashi. It's Rashi's presentation. Mishnah. Habona Aliyah Agabish Nebatim. So let's say you have two houses facing one another, street running between the two houses, and you have now a building that connects the two houses. Good. And that building is going right over the street, meaning it's an overpass. So v'chein gesharma mufalashim, and same thing with a bridge, meaning the bridge is basically running over a street. So now, how do we view the area underneath this overpass? So metaltan tachtein b'shabbos div Rabbi Yehuda. So she does Rabbi Yehuda is that you're allowed to carry underneath. Why? Stay tuned. V'chachamim osrim, the chachamim say no. V'od amar Rabbi Yehuda. And additionally, Rabbi Yehuda says the following, which is marvin lamavui hamefulash, that if you have a mavui mefulash, so you can make an error for a mavui mefulash. So the v'chacham emosrim, a mavui mefulash, meaning that it's open on both sides. You only have walls on the two opposite sides, one of the other. So Rav Yehuda says that you can make an error in such an area, meaning it's a rishus yachid. And the chachamim say no, you cannot. Okay. Now, Amar Rav Lotema Hainu Taima de Rav Yehuda Mishum de Kasavar Beis Mechitzes Daraisa. So now we're going to go back to our Mishnah and say pshat in Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the overpass, you can carry underneath the area. Why can I carry underneath the area? So there are two ways to say it. And what the Gemara is going to tell us, what Rav is going to tell us, is that really I prefer one way, not the other way. One way you could say it is that the overpass, the walls of the overpass are dropping down. Pitik or Yod Vesosim. Here we are again on the topic of Pitik or Yod Vesosim. 2 days in a row. Yesterday's daf, today's daf. Good. So that's one way to say it. But Rabbah says, I prefer not to say it that way. But I'd prefer to say it that way. The alternative way to say it is that, look, you have two houses facing one another, meaning basically the street is surrounded by two walls, and two walls create a Rishus Yachid. And Rav Yehuda Shita says that two walls create a Rishus Yachid. So Rabbah says, I'd prefer not to say that pshat. I'd rather prefer to say the pshat, p'tikr yor v'sosim. Ella, continuing in the Gemara, Ella Mishum de Kasavre Pitikar Yovisosim. Okay, that's the pshat I prefer to say in our Mishnah. Eisve Abai says to Rabba, what are you talking about? So yes, okay, I'm Rav Yehuda. So here we are now with this brisa that we quoted already numerous times. We said this brisa in Shabbos a number of times. We said it here in Erevin already a number of times. Look at the side of the Gemara. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 times in Erevin. We said it now a fifth time in Erevin. So yes, okay. I'm Rav Yehuda. Mishnei shlosh nei batim. Mishnei tzidir rishus harabim. Osa lechem mikan v'lechem mikan akor mikan v'kor mikan. V'nosim v'nosim be'emtsa. So Rav Yehuda says, I have a street. I have houses on the two sides of the street. Good. I have two walls. Good. We have a rishus yachid. Now you want to carry within that area? Good. Put a lechi on one side. Put a lechi on the other side, demarcating the area in which I'm going to carry. Or put a kor on one side. Put a kor on the other side, and you're good. And so now with these two walls, you have a rishus yachid. Amr lo, in Arvin, Rishus HaRabim Bekachin, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not a Rishus HaYachid, that's a Rishus HaRabim. So what do we see from that Braisa? Now, five times taught to us here in Erevin, we see from the Braisa that according to Rabbi Yehuda, two walls creates a Rishus HaYachid. So you're telling me don't read our Mishnah as a referendum on Rishus HaYachid? It is a referendum on Rishus HaYachid. Like, what are you talking about? So Amar Lei Me'ahi In, Me'ah Leik Ala Mishnah Mina. So he says basically as follows, yeah. That Braisa taught us five times now in Erevin. Yes, yes. Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us that two walls make a Rishus HaYachid. Our Mishnah, however, you don't have to read our Mishnah that way. Meaning, of course, you could read it that way, but you don't have to read it that way. Meaning, our Mishnah, because it has an overpass, so there's another consideration, which is Pitzik or Yor V'Sosim, and he says that from our Mishnah, it could be that our Mishnah is there to highlight the principle Pitzik or Yor V'Sosim. Am Rav Ashi, Masnis Nami Deka Midiktani V'od. Am Rav Yehuda Ma'arvim B'mavu Yamafus V'Chachamim Osrim. And now Rav Ashi says, look, I agree that in terms of the first part of the Mishnah, the issue is Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. And why? Because look at the structure of the Mishnah. Read the Mishnah carefully. When Rav Yehuda espouses his viewpoint in the Mishnah, he then follows up with a V'od. And now, let me tell you another point. Now, Iyamar B'Shlamah Mishum Dekasar V'Pitikur Yod V'Sosim Haini Dektani V'od. Ela Iyamar Mishum Dekasar V'Shtei Mechitzas Araisa Mai V'od Shmamina. Look, because in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda is clearly making two points in the Mishnah. The first point of the Mishnah, let's assume that's following the principle of Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. Then I understand that in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says, Va'od, and let me tell you something else, which is that two walls created Rishus HaYachid. Okay, good. So now you understand that issue number one of the Mishnah is Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. Issue number two in the Mishnah is Shtei Mechitzos are Rishus HaYachid. All this according to Rav Yehuda. Good. So Rav Ashi says, it's a really fair way to read the Mishnah. But if you want to tell me that the first case of the Mishnah is talking about two walls being Rishus HaYachid, so then what's the continuation of the Mishnah? Va'odin, let me tell you something else. What else are you telling me? You're repeating to me the first point that you already made? We know that already. So it's easier to read the Mishnah, says Rav Ashi, like Rabba prefers to read the Mishnah, that according to Rav Yehuda, the case of the overpass is highlighting the halacha pitikur yod v'sosim. The next case of the Mishnah is highlighting that according to Rav Yehuda, shtei mechitzos are in fact a Rishus HaYachid. All right. I know it's a fair question to ask. Once shtei mechitzos are Rishus HaYachid, so what is the overpass now introducing? Meaning, how is that helping us according to Rav Yehuda? Why do I even need it? I know that is that's certainly a concern of mine, but nevertheless, so both Rabba and Rav Ashi are reading the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah is making two separate and distinct halachic points. One, Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. Two, Shtei Mechitzos are in fact a Rishus HaYachid. Okay. On the second point, by the way, the Gemara has already numerous times categorically rejected the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda la halacha, meaning that two walls are not a Rishus HaYachid. Two walls are in fact if it has the other characteristics of a Rishus HaRavim, so two walls would be a Rishus HaRavim. Not by definition, just simply, it won't negate a Rishus HaRavim. That's a better way to say it. Okay, on the front of the Pitikur Yod V'Sosim, in terms of the halacha, so it's really complicated. And I'll just simply leave it at that. Meaning, we saw this morning, machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav is ready to say Pitikur Yod V'Sosim on four walls, not three walls. But as I already noted a number of times, I presented the Gemara this morning like Rashi. And there are other ways to explain the Gemara. Tosos has a long take in yesterday's daf, as a long take in terms of how to understand the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. And so therefore, the halacha is not necessarily follow like Rav, the way Rashi presents it. Okay. And so just leave it at that. Okay. Hadralach Kol Gagos, that is the end of the ninth parak. And now we have the schus of starting the tenth parak of Erevin. Tenth parak of Erevin, it's the potpourri of halachas. Many of them having nothing to do with Hilchos Erevin. Most of them having to do with Hilchos Shabbos. And so what is this parak doing over here? So a simple explanation would be that, look, this is the final parak. Meaning, Erevin really is an addendum to Shabbos. Meaning, you have Masechet Shabbos, 24 parakim of Masechet Shabbos, and going over the halachas of Shabbos. But then, of course, there's Hotzah, and there's Chatzeros. And so, Erevin really comes as an addendum to Shabbos. So, but really, what we're doing over here is that we're finishing the unit of Shabbos and Erevin. And so we're basically coming around to Hilcha Shabbos. That's one way to say it over. Tosa says it a little bit differently. And the Hamotzi Tfilin, Hach Pirka, look at the first Tosos in our Masechta. I'm reading. Hach Pirka Memasecha Shabbos, Havala Lemiste Gabe Hotzaos, right? Where does this parak belong? So you'll see clearly that it's talking about the Malach of Hotzah. It's not talking about Hilchas Erevin. So really it belongs by the Sugyas of Hotzah, right? 11th parak of Masechta Shabbos. So that's where it belongs. So Ella, Mishum Zektani Sefer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nosin Adam Lechaver, Vechaver Lechavero, Veafilu Chutz Letchom. Ah, but you'll see though in our Mishnah, as we're going to get to the end of our Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the 10th parak, so it does utter the word Chum. So fine, so there is some connection between our Mishnah and that of Eruvei Chum, and obviously Chum, that's an Erevin discussion. Good. And Tosfos finds another connection. Okay, a couple of loose connections within Tosfos in terms of whether or not what this parak is doing over here at the end of Erevin. Anyway, but here we are, last parak of the Masechta Amotzei Tefillin. So let's say you go out on Shabbos and you're in the field and you find a pair of tefillin. And so obviously by tefillin you don't want it left out over there. Now the tefillin are muksa, and on top of that, we'll come back to the muksa topic a little bit more tomorrow. But on top of that, for you to pick up the tefillin to carry them, so that would be a violation of hotza'ah, right? You're out in the field. You're either in a karmelis or maybe you're in a rishus rabim, whatever the case is. So the but to carry them now into rishus yachid, so that would be prohibited. So what do you do? In other words, then you don't want to leave the tefillin out there because the tefillin are going to get ruined. And obviously, the tefillin have kedusha, and there's a shmir. There's an element of safeguarding the tefillin. So what do you do? So the mission says, "Amotzi tefillin machnisin zug zug." So what you're going to do is you're going to put them on. You're going to wear them. Yes, it's Shabbos, and the Gemara tomorrow is going to be discussing this in great detail. But you're going to wear them one pair at a time. When we say a pair, so Rashi tells us that what we mean is the shel rosh, the shel yad. You put them on one pair at a time. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shnayim Shnayim. Now, Rabbi Gamliel says that you put them two pair on a time. We're going to come back and explain Shitas Rabbi Gamliel when we get to the Gemara. That's only talking about where the tefillin are old tefillin. But if new, so then pater. Pater exempt. Exemption over here means that you, not the classic sense of exempt, meaning you really don't have a right to take them inside, meaning you shouldn't take them inside. What does that mean, new versus old? So, meaning to say, Rashi's explanation is that it's clear that it's filling. What's the other possibility? What else could it be? So, back in the day, so what used to be very popular are amulets. Amulets were basically leather pouches that had inscriptions written in them. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like filling. So if it's not clear as to whether or not they are tefillin, and it could just very well be that it's an amulet, so there's no kedusha by the amulet, and there is a discussion, which we had back, by the way, in Masechta Shabbos, in terms of whether or not amulets can be worn altogether, and whether we should be practicing that kind of those kinds of practices. Okay, but anyway, but if it's not apparently abundantly clear that it's tefillin, and it may be an amulet, so then don't bring it in. Okay, and you can't bring it in. Matzot tzvasim, krichos. So let's say you find a whole pile of them, right, or they're tied together. And so putting them on and bringing them back in is just simply not going to be an option. So machshich aleihem umevian. So what you're going to do is you're going to wait over there, and you'll wait there till the end of Shabbos. And once the end of Shabbos comes around, so then you bring them in. Uvisakana. The mission continues as we now turn to the top of Sani Hamad Bays. And what if it's a shasakana? Meaning you can't wait out there. In other words, for you to be out there, it's going to be very dangerous. And you can't bring it, and you can't wear them and bring them back inside. So michasan va'olechlo. So what you'll do is you'll find something to cover it with. I understand it's going to be fraught with difficulties if you don't have an item right there to bring something over to cover it. That's not going to be an option. But assuming that there's something over there that you can cover it with, you cover it. Va'olechlo, and then good, and then you go. And then you go on your way. Rabbi Shimon Omer Nosan Lechaver V'Chaver Lechaver Ad Shemagil Lechatzer Chitzona. Now Rabbi Shimon says that basically what you could do is a fireman's ladder. Hand it from one person to another, from one person to another, until you get to the Chatzer Chitzona. And that would be a way of getting it into a safe area even on Shabbos. A sheet of Rabbi Shimon is going to be discussed more in the Gemara, and so we'll reserve the, we'll wait for the Gemara to discuss Rabbi Shimon. V'chein b'no. And let's say that your son was just born out in the field. Okay, your wife was taking a stroll out in the field, and she delivered a baby out in the field. Okay, and so now the newborn's out there in the field. Now, obviously, to pick up the newborn and bring it back in, so that's going to be problematic. Now, it's interesting because we do have the principle of chai noseis atzmo, and it would not be nisa d'oraisa to do so, but there is a tosus that we saw back in Shabbos in the 19th perek that says chai noseis atzmo is only when somebody has the capability of walking. But if you're talking about a newborn, which we're talking about right now, so then we're not going to employ the principle of chai noseis atzmo. Anyway, v'chein b'no, and your son, your newborn son, so nosel chaver 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 afilo mea. So what you could do is you could do a fireman's ladder with your newborn son, right? I understand it's a funny way to handle right a newborn baby, but still the point is that carrying the baby would be an isser, and so therefore you could just simply do a handoff from one to another in order to get to the baby to a safe place. Rabbi Yehuda omer nosin adam chavis chaver 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 afilo chutzot chom, and Rabbi Yehuda says that you could do this with a barrel and you can even go outside of chom. And Amrulo, they say to Rabbi Yehuda, Lo tahalech zu yoser miragle ba'alaha. What are you talking about? The barrel cannot go and exceed beyond the parameter of its owner. In other words, its owner is circumscribed by its chum, and the barrel is going to be circumscribed by the same chum. Okay. And this also, we're going to discuss much greater detail when we get to the Gemara in terms of what exactly just happened at the end of the Mishnah. So, zug echad in tfeilo. So, immediately we're going to jump into the Gemara. And the Gemara's discussion over here is one pair. So lema tanan stama deloka Rebbe Meir. So our Mishnah seems not to be going like Rebbe Meir. De'i ka Rebbe Meir ha'omer. Lovish kol mashiach lobosh otev kol mashiach le'etov. Didnan. We're going to go back to a Mishnah in Shabbos. L'sham motzi kol kli tashmisho v'lovish kol mashiach lobosh v'otev kol mashiach le'etov. House is on fire. And now for you to pick everything up and take it outside, that's not an option. Even into a chaser, that's not an option. Adam Bala, a mono person, gets crazy when it comes to his money. And so therefore the chachamim capped in terms of what you can salvage from the house. Kisve kodesh you can salvage from the house, like we learned back in Masechta Shabbos. And clothing, any clothing that you can wear. And shitas Rameir is that you could put the layers on, one layer after another layer, and then exit the house with all those layers on. So, and now, how do I know that Mishnah is going like Shitas Rav Meir? Meaning, we just read the Mishnah. There was no indication that it's going like Rav Meir, but the Gemara says, no, it is going like Rav Meir. I know it's going like Rav Meir. Diktani Allah, lovish umotze, poshe, velovish umotze, uposhe, afilu kolayam, kulo div Rebbe Meir. So, okay, fine, so Shitas Rav Meir. So, over there, Rav Meir says that when a person is saving clothing from the house, so no cap and no restriction, and put as many layers of clothing as you want. Over here, when it comes to tefillin, so one pair of tefillin, that's it. Our mission is not going like Rav Meir. Okay. Gemara is asking it more like an observation than a kasha. But nevertheless, our mission is not going like Rav Meir. Is that right? So Amar Rava, Rava says, not necessarily. I feel it tame Rav Meir. Hasam derech mabusho kechol shavi rabbanan. Vacha derech mabusho kechol shavi rabbanan. Hasam bechol kamad debay levayish le'inyan atzala nami sharele. Rabbanan. Hacha de bechol nami zug echad in tfeilo. Le'inyan atzala nami zug echad in tfeilo. And so the Gemara says, no, our Misha could in fact be going like Rav Meir. Because let's look at common practice. Common practice when it comes to clothing, people put on layers. Okay, granted, generally speaking, people put on layers when it's cold outside, but it's not out of the total unusual. You are not a total outlier if you put on layers of clothing. So therefore, for Hatzalah on Shabbos, for salvaging your clothing on Shabbos from the burning house, to put on layers of clothing, okay, good, that's not so bizarre. But to wear multiple pairs of tefillin, now we'll get to the two pairs of tefillin tomorrow. We'll discuss that tomorrow. But but for a person to wear multiple pairs of tefillin, meaning more than one shal yad, more than one shal rosh, that's so bizarre. Nobody does that. Who does that? So therefore, it could be that Rav Meir would tell us that even in our Mishnah, only zug echad. Wearing one pair of tefillin, that's wearing. Putting on more than one pair of tefillin, so that's not considered wearing. So it's very possible that our Mishnah does in fact go like the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Okay, we'll stop over here. Two dots. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Rami Gamliel. Two pairs of tefillin. Good. One exciting day coming up tomorrow. right? Shabbos Zman Tefillin, Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin, the putting on of two pairs of tefillin, that there's room both on your head and on your arm for two pairs of tefillin. Okay, always encourage you to come back. Okay, tomorrow, we super encourage you to come back as we discuss a lot of the Inyanei Tefillin. In the meantime, however, let's recap our morning. So we started off with, once again, Rav and Shmuel explaining the Mishnah on Sadi Dalet. In terms of the limits of Pitikar Yor Visosin, Rav does not have limits, Shmuel does have limits, and therefore it's going to inform how they're going to understand our Mishnah of yesterday's daf. The two walls come down and now you can't carry in the house, so what's going on over there? So Rav gave his ukimta, Shmuel gave his ukimta, and it conformed with their general positions of how to what degree are we going to say Pitikar Yor Visosin. Good. That was our first topic. The Pitikar Yor Visosin Machlokus of Rav and Shmuel. Is it going to be when the beam or whatever side of the roof is it within 10 amos? Is it going to be even extending beyond 10 amos? So we had two versions of how to frame literally and figuratively over here, how to frame the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. According to the first version, within 10 amos, agreement, Rav and Shmuel agree, Pitikar Yor Visosin, and presumably on all four sides. Again, I caution the listener, all this is according to Rashi. Good. That's the first version. And the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is only when it's greater than 10 amos. Masha Ein came in the second version that we saw on the top of Sadi Dalet Aleph. If it's within 10 amos, so there's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. And if it's greater than 10 amos, so then in the second version, so then they both agree that we're not going to say Pitikar Yor Visosin on all the sides. Okay, that was our second topic of discussion today. Third topic of discussion today. Just I'll mention it quickly. And the machlokes over here between Rav and Shmuel is to coordinate with the machlokes between Abai and Rava as it relates to the walls of the sukkah, perhaps. But the Gemara says, but maybe not. Okay, the machlokes in our mission: the walls come down of the house, the walls come down of the chatzer. Can I carry for the balance of the Shabbos? Within the area, so machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi being a machmir and Rabbi Yehuda being a mekel for the remainder of this Shabbos. So first of all, we said pshat and Rabbi Yossi, like I just said. Who does the halacha follow like? So Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, where we could be mekel. The Gemara says, I don't understand. This is not an erevin issue. This is a mechitza issue. And now and Shmuel is going to be mekel by a mechitza issue, and that's not normally the case. The Gemara says, yeah, but over here, the chatzer spills out into a karmelis. And so therefore, yes, Shmuel is going to be a mekel in this case over here. Okay, the last Mishnah of the ninth perek, which we went through, is talking about where you have an overpass going over a street which is flanked on houses on both sides. So Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah teaches makes two points. This is the Gemara's understanding, which is one, the sides of the overpass are coming down, Pitikar Yor Visosin, and two, even just the houses by themselves are going to create a Rishus Yachid Min HaTorah. Good. That concludes the ninth parak. The tenth parak, finding tefillin or a newborn in the field, wanting to bring it back into the house, how can you do so? So you can wear it coming in, but only one pair at a time. Rabbi Gamliel says two pair at a time. And then a number of other assorted halachas in terms of what you can do under those circumstances, passing it from one to another, which all that we're going to go in much greater detail. Our first topic of discussion that we covered in the Gemara this morning was that, is our Mishnah not going like Rabbi Meir? Because Rabbi Meir says that when salvaging the clothing from the burning house, you can wear layer after layer. Over here, our Mishnah says you can only wear one pair of tefillin at a time. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Meir. Isn't that right? So the Gemara says not necessarily. Our Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Meir. And that Rabbi Meir would tell you that wearing layers is not abnormal. Wearing two pairs of tefillin, that's abnormal. So good. So that could be why Amish is going like Rebbe Meir. Adkan.